let's talk about, I mean, I know you're pretty close with the Cincinnati Children's Hospital.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's part of the, you know, to give more third pillar. And that's where, you know, you told me you beat their goal for donations by 350%. I think that's pretty darn exciting. And first of all, congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you.
And secondly, how did you do it?
Well, it just what I knew. You know, I know about marketing, and I know about enough of what the internet can do. Not to actually work it itself, but you know, being the idea person. We met with them in my office, and because we had made, you know, my wife and I, we give a lot of money to a lot of different charities, because I think it's important to help people out. I mean, that really is a passion of mine. I smile when I write a big check to somebody, you know, just to give away money because I know it's going to go to a good cause. So one of the charities we gave to is Cincinnati Children's, having had kids, in the emergency room, for various falls and sports injuries, you know, we just were very impressed with what they did. So they invited us out, and we looked at the facility, and we just started talking with them, and just realized that this was just we just all of a sudden had our passion. We found that the main place we want to give most of our money to. So in talking with them, I told them, you know, what I do with marketing and, you know, several businesses, and, you know, I know a lot about, attracting attention. They asked me if I would head up their spring fundraiser. And I jumped at the chance. Obviously, you know, I've got the time to do it, so, you know, why not do something good with it? So they came to me and they said this was going to be their second year doing an online fundraiser. The first year they did a little over $10,000, and you know, they'd really like, their goal was to triple that amount. And I literally laughed and I said, "You got to be kidding me!" And they said, "Oh no! I think we can do $30,000." I said, "No, we can do $30,000 in an hour. Let's take that higher." and they were just like shocked and amazed. And I think a lot of it, if anything, the instructive part of that is you set your goals way higher. I mean, that $30,000 was crazy. That I felt would be no problem to do. So I said, "No, we're gonna go way over $100,000 on this thing." And they'd never had a fundraiser that did $100,000 before. So I sat down with with their web person, and I said, "Okay, here's what we need to do. Here's the game plan." It's just basically, to me, it was marketing. It was just now a different group of people. So I used the skill that I had developed and put it to use for a good cause. We came up with an idea of doing matching funds. I put up a good chunk of money, and for every dollar somebody donated, I would match that amount. Well, you know, what turned out to be a good idea became this behemoth of a thing where the money I pledged was like gone in a few hours. we wound up having everybody else, because of the stir that we got on there, calling in and giving, you know, huge donations for matching funds, to the point where in a 5-day period we went, it was about $110,000 in a 5-day period, which just amazed them, and they couldn't believe it. Which on the other end, you know, on the aside from, you know, on the philanthropic, you know, that it actually did good for people, you know, what goes around comes around. When you do good things happen for you too. And I honestly believe that. And, you know, out of that, it just, you know, we met a lot of great people and have, you know, a lot of new friends that, you know, we've developed, other people that were, you know, involved in there. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's just great. And now we're working on the next spring's fundraiser, and you know, we set the goal at double what we did the previous year. So,
nice. Yeah, you know, so that brings up a really interesting point, and I don't know if anyone else has really talked about that on one of our interviews. I've mentioned it before in a way that I think the philanthropy and that whole charitable aspect, it's you know, you have to do it for the sake of it, not for the secondary reason, like you mentioned, the new relationships and the new network and the things that happen. But it's amazing the kind of people that you meet that are involved at high levels at the charities who you really wouldn't have a chance to interact with and get that connection with pretty much any other way. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. We got invited to the charity ball, which was, you know, another one of their fundraisers, and the president of Children's, who's a very, very impressive businessman to begin with, he walked to us, up to my wife and I, and introduced himself to us. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, you know, people are standing in line to talk to this guy, and he found out that, you know, we were the people that did that, and he, you know, walked to excuse himself from people that were waiting to meet him, and he came up and introduced himself to us. So, I mean, it's, you know, but I agree with you 100%. If you go into the giving to charities with the expectation of getting gain out of it,
right,
you're first off, you're not going to get what you want. You need to go in with the right idea of helping the charity. The other things happen, but, you know, just let them happen. Don't go in because they're going to happen. And I think that's the most important thing, because I know some people that have, you know, done, well, if I do this, then maybe I can meet this person. No.
Right. It's a bit of a strategy, and you're trying to outthink it, and it doesn't work that way.
Yeah. I look at it as karma. You do good things happen to you, but, you're not really doing good things if you're expecting those other results.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think that's interesting, and I love the way that you took on that responsibility, and you know, it's just another paradigm shift, right? Because they had only done this small amount, and you're like, we're not going to do that. We're gonna blow that out of the water, and then you went to work figuring out how to make that happen, mm-hmm. And it's also another case for, you know, always trying to surround yourself with someone who's hopefully been a little bit further, done a little bit bigger, and gone a little bit higher, because their paradigms are different than yours. So you walked in there and you're like,
I always look at it, you want to be the dumbest guy in the room when you're going to surround yourself with some other people,
mm-hmm.
Because there's so much more to learn. The goals get, you know, set much higher. I joined a mastermind group a while back with a specific reason, because these guys were making a lot more than me, and when I told them, how well I'm doing, it was kind of like, okay, you're doing okay. And you know, around other people, I'm like a god, you know, because I'm doing so much better. So it's always better to hang around and associate yourself with people that are just much better, because all of a sudden, you know, now your focus is on much higher value things. And that's, you know, you mentioned it before. My focus really is on high value and high income streams now. So, for example, you know, when I used to do coaching programs for a few hundred dollars, now my coaching program is $9,000, you know, for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing $8,000 days of consulting now, where before I was like, oh, there's no way. But now I wouldn't sit down with somebody for less than $8,000 for a day. You know, why would I? When, you know, there are people out there that are willing to pay me because I give them some great value to do that. So, you know, I kind of look at things differently because I associate it with different people.
And how do you get yourself in a position where you are that dumbest person in the room? Is it paying to be part of a mastermind? Is it just trying to fill one out yourself? What have you done that has worked?
Well, in that particular case, is I stepped up to the plate and, you know, joined a mastermind group that would cost me $5,000 a month, because I knew that's where the players were, and that's where I wanted to, you know, to be around those people. I think it's important to go to seminars. I think it's important to go to where the people are. I think it's important to kind of crawl out of the shell. I'm kind of out there and in front, and most people don't realize how shy I actually am inside. So, you know, if I go to a new place, I really have to make that effort to go and meet people. But I go and do it because I know that, you know, ultimately that's what I'm there for. So I think it's important to go to those seminars. I think it's important to do whatever you can to talk with people and ask good questions and start associating, because as you associate with more people, you find out, okay, this is the group I want to be in. I think a mastermind group, I think, is by far the best way to do that, because, you know, well, you and I, you know, being in, and you know, we would have never met hadn't been for Dan Kennedy's, and I wouldn't have met, you know, so many other people.
Well, we probably would have met, but in a different sort of context and not as big of a connection.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's, nobody can just call you up on the phone, and or I shouldn't say nobody. There's very few people that can call you up on the phone and talk with you for a while. Well,
yeah.
Only somebody that's in a mastermind group that you have that personal relationship with, and, you know, more friendly and more business relationship, you know, those are the people that you're going to have a lot more access. People want to kind of, in some cases, you know, I think barge in is the wrong word, but you understand what I mean. They want to kind of go in and do a giant time suck, and they're upset that you don't have time for them. Well, you know, you pay to be in other groups to have that camaraderie and that relationship with different people. So I think masterminds are a great way to do that. Running a mastermind group is another great way to do that.
That's a great point. Yeah, talk about that, and then I'll give you my two cents on it.
Yeah, running a mastermind group is a great way to do that, because and I run right now four different mastermind groups, all in varying degrees, mainly because, I like to hear from other people. Even if, when you run a mastermind group, it helps to be one of the smarter people in the room. I mean, if you're the dumbest guy in the room and you're running it, it's a little difficult, because they quickly see that you shouldn't be in the room. They shouldn't be paying you the money to be in it, but...
Unless you're a really good, exceptional facilitator, but
that is key. You're 100% right. But there are very few people that qualify for that like you.
Yeah.
Not saying that you're ever the dumbest guy in the room, Yannick. But running a mastermind group, I think, is a great way. Not only is it a great way to be, it's a great business to be in. And actually, that's one of the new training courses that I just developed. Is that I'm doing my first training next month.
How to run your own mastermind groups?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And how to form it, how to get it, how to pick your group, and what to train, and what, you know, how to run them. I like doing them, because just sitting in a room and the momentum that builds within the group. You hear a lot of new ideas. Around a local mastermind group, but with some pretty heavy hitters in there. These guys are brilliant in all different areas, and together, you know, it's just like, you know, the thing. Together, they all grow, because now I know more about online. I know more about different ways of marketing, or, you know, ways of financing, because I have all these people in a mastermind group.
Yeah. So what's interesting is I don't know if I wrote this. I think I read it in the last Maverick Business Insider newsletter or somewhere else, but I talked about being the connection point increases your likelihood for success, and as that, you know, as forming the mastermind group and being the person that runs it, you're the connection point. So anyone that, even from your local area, they come together and you're at that, you know, you're at that crux, and anytime that there's something that benefits, it always sort of comes back to you, and it's like, oh yeah, you know, I was in Ron's mastermind group and we talked about this, or we, you know, so you get credit in a way, and you become that total connection point and that glue, where it just builds up your network. And so I've done that, and, you know, even putting on seminars and different things like that. There's so many side benefits from doing that. It's incredible, and people can do it in a small way. I mean, if you had a dinner group that met whatever once a month or once every other month. Of 10, 15 people, you could do it and get some of those amazing benefits right away.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love doing those meetings. And, again, because they're never the same. Everybody comes with fresh ideas, and it's a lot of fun. And you're right, as far as being that connection point, there are people that give me way more credit than I really deserve. It's just because they were in that room. I was at
Well, but yeah, but I mean, but you know, you and I developed those rooms, and you curate them, and so forth. So it does, you know, there is credit to be had there, but it's amazing when, and there's a really good book on leadership, all about what's called triading, and I forgot the name of the book now. I think it's called Tribal Leadership, and it talks about the highest level leaders are the ones that are always making connections, and they're always essentially, you know, making introductions, and then so, you know, having running those groups or the different things or a dinner party or a seminar or even just being a person that widely opens up your Rolodex when it makes sense, it all comes back to you, because then it's like, you know, if you introduce me to someone else, then I'm like, oh, hey, well, you know, how do you know Ron? And you become, you know, that topic of that connection point again, and it elevates you.
Yeah, and just a word to everybody that's listening, because I know some people are, you know, get real excited over that, and other people are like, oh, man, I don't think I could ever do that. You know, if you ever have a reaction like that to anything that you learn of, oh, I don't know whether I can do that, a lot of it is just fear because you don't have all the information, not a fear that you aren't good enough to do that. You may not be good enough to do that right now, but join a couple mastermind groups, watch how they run, meet new people, find out what people want, and then, you know, then start to form your own, because people will pay you for what you know, because that's the most valuable asset you have, is what you know, and in some cases, you know, if you're running a mastermind group, who you know.
Yeah.
People will join to get connected with other people that you're already connected with. So, a great
absolutely. Business. Yeah, don't discount your kind of hidden assets, is what I call them, yeah. and figure out a way to benefit from that. All right, well, I think we covered a whole lot. Where can, if anyone wants to find out more about what you're doing, Ron, or any of the other programs or materials that you have, where should we send them?
Yeah, why don't you just pop over to the website, ronipach.com. That's my name, ronipach.com. And I'll have some information up there on, you know, contact information and, you know, various different things that we do. I'd love to help anybody any way I can.
Yeah, I mean, you're involved in a lot of different things, and certainly the automotive industry for sure. I mean, that's a no-brainer. But it sounds like you have a new course on forming a mastermind and other things that are. And I know you used to have. I don't know if you saw it anymore. We talked about it. That the lifestyle course.
Yeah, the Lazy Man's Guide to a Successful Life. Yeah, if you want to go over to lazysuccessfullife.com. It's a course that we have on outsourcing and kind of, you know, working your business backwards. You know, some of the things we talked about in the very beginning. You know, go over to lazysuccessfullife.com and you can find out some more information on that too.
Nice. Well, I really appreciate it, and as always, it's great to talk to you. And I think you know, the philosophy that you throw out there, from truly living it, is not only an inspiration, but it's a good blueprint for people to look at and follow. And it's done in a way that is not, it's not smoke and mirrors. It's not telling them tomorrow you're going to start and be able to work 30 hours a week. It's true, and it's legitimate, which really makes these conversations fun with you.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's a little bit of work, but in the end, it pays off.
Absolutely. Great. I look forward to hanging out with you again, getting a little Baja racing, and I'll talk to you soon.